Jerry Bader Show 1006. Jason shuffling the deck over there on Classic Cuts. You're doing well of late. You are. Of course, your Halloween offerings offended the politically correct, but other than that, I'm just tweaking you over there. It was fine. Packers play the Chicago Bears tonight, Monday Night Football. I plan on watching it in a sports bar in Fargo, North Dakota. Going to be in Fargo the next couple of days on company business. I will be doing the show. However, I fly out after today's show. I'll be situated in a studio in the legendary KFGO, the Mighty 790. I'm going to try to get Mike McFeely in studio while I'm there. It just seems appropriate, doesn't it? Liberal talk show host from the aforementioned KFGO, who I debate on Fridays. Our schedules have just been rotten. I haven't been on his show. He hasn't been on this show for weeks. So we'll try to do that both ways while I'm out there. Although I'm in a lot of meetings during his show. I don't know. But we'll try. But I'll definitely try to get Mike on during my show from out there because, well, one, we've never had a chance to discuss the Vikings-Packers game. That's the first thing. And just the debacle that has been Obamacare. So I will likely be watching it in a sports bar in Fargo, North Dakota, which, by the way, is Vikings country, if you were not aware. I couldn't find anything I really wanted to wear. I was going to try to bring along Packer garb to wear out tonight. But I don't have anything. I mean, they're not playing the Vikings. If they were playing the Vikings, then I probably would have gone out of my way to do that. Pete Doherty, writer for Gannett, Wisconsin Media, sports writer, came up with his Packers Mount Rushmore. If you were going to put the four faces on a Packer Mount Rushmore that are the four most significant people in the franchise, he comes up with four. I think the first two are so obvious that there's not much point spending any time on them. Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi. Curly Lambeau is the founder of the Green Bay Packers. Lambeau Field, named after him. Legendary coach as well as owner, founder, and so on. It goes without saying. Same thing, of course, Vince Lombardi. John Madden always points, and whenever the name comes up, points out that he thinks Lombardi is the greatest coach of all time. So I think that those two are easy. Don Hudson, and I've said this on the air many times, and Pete Doherty says this, and I agree. One of the most transcendent players of the league's first 25 years and the best player on three championship teams. He led the NFL in receiving in 8 of his 11 seasons, held 18 NFL records when he retired, and put up numbers that, relative to his NFL contemporaries, were in the class with Babe Ruth and the NHL's Wayne Gretzky. And I think he could, as you know, were he a young man today, that same young man, I think he would be a star in the NFL. Here's where it gets interesting. His fourth pick is, in fact, number 4. Jason's like, by interesting, you mean really stupid, right? Well, let's discuss that. He has Brett Favre as the fourth in a quartet of the four most important people in Packer history. He has Brett Favre. Not Bart Starr. Before I go on here, Jason, is there anyone else that you would replace Favre with other than Bart Starr? Or is it Bart Starr that you think should be there instead of Brett Favre? Because I suppose you could make the case for others as well. But is there someone more deserving than Brett Favre? Now, here's Doherty's argument why it's Favre and not Starr. For all Starr has meant to the franchise, choosing Favre ahead of him is a relatively easy call. Starr is a Packers legend for good reason and probably would be next if there were a fifth head on Mount Rushmore. He was the archetype of the field general quarterback and cool under pressure and an excellent play caller when quarterbacks held that crucial role. He also won the most NFL championships, 5, of any quarterback in NFL history. But the 1960s Packers, now listen carefully to this, but the 1960s Packers didn't win because of star, and defenses didn't game plan to stop him. Let me read that again. But the 1960s Packers didn't win because of star, and defenses didn't game plan to stop him. The Packers of the 60s, above all else, were Lombardi's creation. Their championship teams of 1961, 62, and 65 won because they had outstanding running games. Paul Hornung was their best playmaker, though Jim Taylor excelled as well. The 66 and 67 teams won because of defense. The Packers ranked number one in the league's fewest points and yards allowed in 66 and were first in yards and third in points in 67. Starr also was surrounded by exceptional talent and played with 10 Pro Football Hall of Famers. For all his intangibles, Starr had relatively limited athletic and arm talent. And NFL opponents such as former LA Rams coach George Allen knew it. After the Packers upset the Rams 28-7 in the Western Conference Championship in 1967, Allen lamented a blocked 24-yard field goal that would have put the Rams ahead 10-0 in the second quarter. He, in effect, said that playing from two scores behind would have magnified Starr's limitations. If we score at all down there, we win, Allen said. We've got the momentum, and Starr has to come to us. During the Favre era, on the other hand, the Packers won primarily because of him. It is hard to dispute that at least 92, 93, 94, and 95. By 96, they were a complete championship team. He was the team's primary playmaker and turned players, such as Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman into multimillionaires. Favre also played with only one Hall of Famer, Reggie White, yet had a 160-93 record as a starter, 632 winning percentage under three coaches. Several others also warrant mention as candidates for the Packers' Mount Rushmore. Then he gets into any number of names. Here's his argument. Now, he doesn't say this, and maybe he didn't meant it as a slight, but this is really what he mean it as a slight, excuse me. But this is really what he's saying. Bart Starr was kind of along for the ride. That anyone in the quarterback position likely would have succeeded. Well, then how did he beat out Joe Francis? How did he get the starting job? Bart Starr executed to perfection the game plans that Vince Lombardi drew up. That's the part that he's talking about, Bart Starr calling his own plays. In calling his own plays, he perfectly executed the game plan to maximum efficiency and made almost zero mistakes. That's where he and Aaron Rodgers are most alike. They don't make dumb mistakes. They just don't. Or rarely. I think Aaron Rodgers has made about, and I'm serious, about three in the last 5 years. I'm serious about that. Bart Starr was the same way. I don't think it's an easy call at all. That's where I think Doherty's all wet here. I would put Bart Starr ahead of Brett Favre. I think the five championships, he was at the helm of the Lombardi era. And I think, intentionally or not, Doherty really marginalizes Bart Starr's role. Really marginalizes it. I will tell you, though, that the argument that he does make, that Brett Favre, and he doesn't use this phrase, but I will, Brett Favre carried the team on his back in those early years is true. The 92, 93, and 94 Packers never would have gone 9-7 were it not for Brett Favre. If Don Majkowski doesn't get hurt and he's still the quarterback, I don't think that happens. They didn't have that talent. 1995, when they went 11-5 and made it to the NFC Championship game, you were starting to see the pieces fall into place. By 1996, through free agency, they were a pretty complete team. I still don't think they win the Super Bowl without Brett Favre. It was his second of three MVP years. I don't think they win the Super Bowl without him, but they were a Super Bowl caliber team pretty much top to bottom. When you go back and look at that game, and I have recently, including the NFC Championship game of that year, man, the defensive talent, incredible. The weak point there was the offensive line, which does give more credit to Favre. I actually think it's close. That and Favre was instrumental in resurrecting a franchise that had been dormant for decades. I think it's really close. For him to say it's relatively easy, I think, is the only really stupid thing he says here. I would give the edge to Bart Starr. But I think it's really close. All right, with all of that, I never did get around to making my picks, which I need to do. We need to make our picks. We'll do that and get to other things in five. It's 10:18.
The Jerry Bader Show.